Check the mic and make sure it sound right, boys.
Hello, and thank you for tuning in. This week, we have the first Canadian off-road rider to win a major off-road championship in the United States. He won the 2018 Works Pro 2 Light Championship. Hails from Calgary, Alberta. His number is 17. So coming up next time, we have Spencer Wilton. So you're Spencer Wilton, number 17. And this year, you're running with GasGas, correct?
Yeah, so I signed a two-year deal with GasGas for some U.S. races and Canadian races.
Nice. And
so
that's pretty cool. Like you and Tristan Hart have been making the news on the Dirt Bike Network. You seem to be like every second story is you guys. You made the transition to pro like 3 years ago.
2017. I'll kind of just break it down real quick. So It was the first round of Endurocross in Las Vegas. And I was kind of like on the edge of being in the pro class, like a lower pro, but being like one of the top amateurs.
Yep.
And I wanted to win amateur because it's an AMA championship. So I never got an AMA championship. And I was pretty bummed about that. Oh. I like was in amateur for 3 years, almost got it twice. And, missed out on that twice. So I was pretty bummed, but yeah, 2017, first round in Vegas, I went in kind of just expecting for like a top three in amateur.
Yeah.
And I didn't know what I was going to do. Like I kind of wanted to move up to pro, but I kind of wanted to win the championship. So I told myself that if I qualified for pro, I was going to try to do it. So I went in and I did the heat or the main event for amateur, won that.
Nice.
And then the way it works is if you win amateur, they invite you to race the pro LCQ.
Okay.
So I won amateur and then they invited me to race the pro LCQ on stage and it was just, everything was right there. So I was just like, yeah, sure, I'll do it. So I went in and raced the pro LCQ, won the pro LCQ and went straight to the main event in pro. So it was pretty crazy going my first race of the season, not even thinking I was going to be like a top three amateur and just going straight into the pro class from there. So
that's crazy. And like the last chance qualifying race, how much time is there between that and the next race? It's like 5 minutes, isn't it?
Yeah. Like the last chance qualifying race was on the line as I was doing my speech. So I basically finished my speech on the podium. I was still like dead from the amateur race. I went straight onto my bike, right back onto the line, and they dropped the gate for the pro LCQ. So I was like, that was probably one of the biggest moments for me going in there and winning the pro LCQ. And I think, I can't remember, but I'd have to pull up the results, but I think there was like some pretty decent guys in the pro LCQ. So I think they take the top two. Pretty sure it was the top two. So.
Oh, nice.
So yeah, I was pretty stoked to get the win in that straight from amateur, and it was kind of a cool way to jump up. And that's also part of the reason why I changed my number to 17 is because that year I finished 17th overall in the pro class.
Oh, nice.
And 2017 was the year that I went pro. So that's why I wanted to switch from a 3-digit number to a two digit number.
Yep.
So I just, yeah, it was just 17 just made sense. So now I'm hoping to drop the seven here.
You can get in a one. Years, yeah.
Get a one. So
that'd be nice.
But yeah, I gotta keep training though. Tristan and all those guys are so fast, so they're hard to beat.
Yeah, but it's good. Like riding with guys that are faster is the only way to get faster. Like once you're at the front line and you're training buddies, then unless you got like a guy who's like at your heels all the time, there's really hard. It's difficult to get faster.
Like, yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
But yeah, once you're winning, just like you see like Haker and Cody, all those guys, when they got on winning notes, it's like they can't be stopped.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I mean, it kind of works both ways. If you're winning, once you get on like a winning streak, it's almost like you just keep building off like your wins and you just keep going.
Momentum.
The momentum just gets rolling and you get things start clicking and everything seems to work out.
That's so crazy. And so for 2021, you guys have a racing season, yeah? Like, it seems everybody's open.
I'm contracted to do the AMA Hard Enduros in the U.S. and the AMA Enduro Cross again.
Yep.
And then it's kind of weird. I haven't been contracted to race in Canada for a couple of years, but I'm contracted now to do the Red Bull Outliers in Calgary.
Yep.
And then the Corduroy Enduro out in Ontario. So I'm pretty excited to get up to the Corduroy. I've been trying to do it for a couple of years, but it's overlapped with a couple of U.S. races that I've been doing. So
yeah, as Canadians, we never time it right.
Yeah.
The Red Bull Outliers in Calgary. That's a crazy race. Like, I know.
Yeah, that one's pretty gnarly, especially when they do it in the fall and it's like snowing and ice, or like sleet and everything's frozen.
Yeah.
That was pretty gnarly, 2 years ago.
It's cool to, I guess, not show off, but represent the hometown.
Yeah. I'm pretty excited to represent for all the Canadian folk and all the Calgarians too. And hopefully I know 2 years ago I was fourth overall on the first day. And they didn't do the second day because of the snow. But
yeah.
So I finished fourth overall in that, and I was pretty excited about that. So
no, hopefully don't.
Looking for a podium on the next one now.
Nice.
Build off that.
So we spoke on the phone a little while ago, and your 2020 season was pretty rough, eh? Like you're going through some stuff?
Yeah. Yeah, so it was kind of crazy. 2020 – I guess it would have been 2019.
I guess, yeah.
Yeah, it would have been 2019. So 2017 was a good year for me. I signed with RPM at the end of the year. And that was the year that I went and moved up to pro. So it was like a learning year. It was I was on Honda 2017.
Okay.
And I finished off the year, made 3 pro mains for Endurocross. And like, it wasn't as great as I wanted it to be, but I mean, it's so hard when you move up and you're like, I was still in high school.
Yeah. Like you're
a
young
guy, just a kid still. So I didn't really know what I wanted to do. Like I was like kind of focused on racing and stuff, but at the same time I was like going out, like fishing with friends and like just doing like kid stuff. So 2018 was probably my best year. The first year on RPM, I went and did the work series. I raced 3 series that year. I raced works, Endurocross, and hard enduro.
Okay.
And I won the Pro 2 Lights Championship in works. So I was pretty pumped about that. I don't think any Canadians ever got a works championship.
Oh, wow.
So I was pretty stoked on that. Yeah, I'm pretty sure that there's no one that's ever got one in Canada. So I'm pretty pumped about that. And then, yeah, it was a good year. I think I finished off Endurocross like 13th. So better than the year before.
Yep.
And then 2019, I was down in the States in January. And I was down there for the RPM photo shoot again. I signed with them for 2019. And I don't know what happened. Like, I came home, and a week after coming home, I got really, really sick, and I was in bed for, like, a month almost. So it was kind of weird. I was down in California for a month, got home super sick, and I found out that I had a parasite. But the parasite wasn't common in Canada.
Okay.
So I must have gotten it when I was in the U.S. I think it was from the tacos. And, yeah, I got super sick. And then all year it kind of just snowballed. And I had these outbreaks like every couple of weeks I'd have a bad outbreak. And I'd just be super sick to the point where I had no energy because all my food was just going straight through me. I thought I was like gluten-free. And I went on a bunch of crazy diets. And I couldn't find out what was working. And it was to the point that it was so bad, I was like, couldn't even get out of bed. I'd have to text my mom to get her to bring me whatever I needed. Like if I needed water or something, I had no energy. I couldn't even walk down the stairs. I wouldn't take showers for like weeks because I would like a week at a time, I wouldn't take a shower. Cause I like had no energy. I didn't even want to take a shower. Cause yeah, I couldn't even get out of bed.
That's crazy.
It was to the point. Yeah. It was pretty wild. It was to the point where like, I couldn't even watch TV because watching TV took too much energy out
Holy
of me. So I just laid in bed and I didn't play on my phone or anything. I just slept all day. Like at some days I would sleep for, I would wake up at like 8 a.m, maybe eat like some rice or something, like super plain food. I was eating like rice and steamed carrots for breakfast. No butter or nothing. Just like really, really plain
nutrients.
Food. Yeah, just trying to get anything I could into my body. So it was pretty crazy. Yeah, I got super sick, lost a bunch of weight. And at the same time, I would get these little windows that I would be fine for a week or two. So I would go training and stuff. And that was sick at the races all the time. And yeah, it was bad. So, at the end of the year, I found out after Endurocross, I held on by the thread of a needle. I don't know how I made it through Endurocross, but
yeah.
I think I finished 12th that year, so I was one position better than the year before.
Yeah,
which I have no clue. I had no clue how, because I would like. I think I went to the LCQ every single race. I was just a full time LCQ.
Oh
guy.
Wow.
Like, I was barely making it out of the LCQ. There's some videos of me in the LCQ, like, last lap, like, almost crashing, barely, like, almost looping out, barely hanging on to the bike. I had no energy. I couldn't hold on. So I would just, like, ride super mellow. And I finished off that. And then right around Outliers was when it got super bad. I got really, really sick right around Outliers. And I wasn't going to race Outliers because of it.
Okay.
So I did because I'm a racer. I can't sit on the sidelines. It's just so hard for me to sit on the sidelines. So I did Outliers. And then the week after Outliers, I went in and got a colonoscopy and found that I had Crohn's disease. So as soon as I found out that, like, I kind of just went into the hospital. It's the weirdest thing. I went in. And they basically just come out of the room and tell me I have Crohn's disease and I have no clue what it is or, like, what I need to do to treat it or, like, if I'm going to live or anything. I had no clue what it was. So it was kind of scary at first. I'm driving home in the car with my mom and I'm, like, thinking to myself if I'm ever going to be able to race again. I had no clue what it was. So, I got online instantly and started doing a bunch of research. And then I got a really good doctor and he got me on this drug called Humira.
Okay.
So now I'm giving myself a shot every 2 weeks. It's like a spring loaded needle and I got to do it in my stomach or my legs.
Okay.
So I do that every second Tuesday. And after like the first dose, probably 3 or 4 days later, I started to like feel a lot better. And I lost all the color in my skin and everything. I was like pale almost. So it was pretty bad, but yeah, I started coming back. As soon as I got on this drug, I started coming back pretty quick. And then just like weeks started ticking by and I just started getting better and better and better. And even now I'm still not fully recovered, but I've had some blood tests and stuff and I've talked to my doctors and they're saying that the inflammation's almost, so basically what Crohn's is just inflammation in your colon and intestine.
Okay.
So now I found that I have almost, well, I don't have none, but I have it under control. So
yep.
I still have inflammation, but it's under control with this drug now. So now I'm kind of living a normal life. I got to be a little bit careful with what I eat and stuff, but so I'm trying to get back on track here. It's like almost, I think kind of like 2020 was honestly kind of a blessing because all the COVID stuff, I mean, the races weren't fully going. So every time, every day or week that I'm training, or just like every week that goes by, I'm just getting stronger and stronger. So
that's awesome.
So yeah, it's just trying to get back on track. And I didn't even know if I was going to race 2020. I was like 2019, I was ready to quit. Cause after being so sick and just grinding all year, it was so hard. It was bad too. I actually had one race where I actually shit my pants in Calgary at the track. So it was kind of funny. Like no one really knows, but it was bad. Like that's how sick I was. I was like, I just couldn't control my stomach at all. So
that's crazy.
I was down at TKO in Tennessee. It's the Red Bull Tennessee Knockout.
Yeah.
One of the biggest hard enduros in the U.S. And I drove, like, my parents drove all the way down there in August, and I was still sick. I had no clue what was going on yet. We go down, and I'm like, I ran some pretty good times. Like, I was feeling good. And then right before the main event, there was a last chance qualifier, and I was supposed to go into it, and I couldn't even make it because I was in the outhouse. So my parents are like, banging on the door, and they're like, you got to come out. And I was like, I know, like, you don't understand. I couldn't, like, I had to skip the last chance qualifier for the main.
Yeah.
Because I had, like, I'd get really, really bad stomach cramps. So, like, to the point where I couldn't even move. Like, I couldn't move. I couldn't walk or anything when I got stomach cramps. So, I was just in the outhouse, slowly dying as I thought. But, no, I was pretty bummed. And my parents were bummed, too. And it was scary because we didn't know what was going on.
Yeah.
So it's like kind of weird to have something like that happen and not know what it is or what's happening.
Oh, heck kinda yeah, weird, man. But you're lying in bed near death. You shit every time you're having a good time.
Like, yeah.
You know, it sounds like the nightmare stuff.
Yeah. It was bad. I was going to the bathroom like 20 to 30 times a day.
Holy crow.
Just all, I couldn't even, like, I didn't sleep through the night at all because I was up every single hour. It was almost like every single hour or two I had to go to the bathroom.
That's brutal.
So I was, like, getting absolutely no sleep during the night either. So it was bad. I was always tired. And yeah, no, I had to get IVs a couple times because, like, I got 3 IVs or something because,
that's insane.
Just because I couldn't get the nutrients back in my body. The IVs were like the only thing that made me feel like I had energy.
So you're in the States during a lot of this?
Like, well, no, I was like back and forth. So I was in the States a bit, but I never actually stayed down there at all. It was weird too, getting on all these crazy diets. Like I feel so bad for people that are gluten-free, not by choice.
Yeah.
Like gluten-free or like dairy-free. I was all that, like every diet you can think of, I was on.
Not just trying to find the cure, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah. At one point, I think for this one, because I went through so many doctors, because all these doctors didn't really have a clue what was going on.
Yeah.
Like it took three or four doctors to figure out what was going on. And this one doctor put me on this crazy diet for 2 weeks. And all I was allowed to eat was rice, plain white rice. And steamed carrots.
Oh man!
For 3 meals a day.
That's get rough.
2 weeks.
That'll get rough.
So like, imagine like waking up and having to eat plain like, and I absolutely hate carrots. I hate them. I don't even like them now. I won't eat them.
Imagine.
I hate them. I've always hated them. Even like with ranch dressing or anything on them, carrots suck. I hate them. The worst vegetable. Like, imagine waking up every morning for 2 weeks and having to eat the food that you hate the most.
It sounds pretty horrible, man.
Plain white rice. And you can't have any seasoning, no salt on it, no butter, just plain.
Yeah, that's prison food.
Oh, yeah, that was prison food. For 2 weeks straight, breakfast, lunch, and dinner, I was ready to pass away at that point. And I was over it.
What about your sponsors? Were they there for you at the time, or were they getting worried about you?
Well, yeah, so here's the thing. Like, it was kind of weird because I told the RPM team manager what was going on, but at the same time, each individual team sponsor didn't know what was going on.
Okay. Yeah.
And I didn't really have answers for them. Like, I basically was just telling them, I'm like, yeah, I'm sick again. Like,
yeah. Yeah.
I'm going to go to this race, but I'm sick. So don't expect me to do like good.
Yeah.
So it's kind of weird being in that position. No one knew. I didn't know. They didn't know. So it was like they were there for me. They're still supplying me with all like everything that I needed to get to the races, and I was going to the races, trying my best and doing all that. But I mean, it's kind of, it's not the best when you go from winning a championship to like getting 20th every single race.
Yeah, that's
the next
brutal.
Year. So it was more hard on me than them, I think. But it definitely affected me a little bit the season, because I didn't really have results to show. I didn't really have any results to be like, all right, yeah, I got a championship again this year.
Yeah.
It was kind of like 2018 was my thing, and 2019 was just a full bust.
Oh, bro. That's brutal.
And it's not like I was injured. Like, it wasn't like, oh, like I had a broken arm, I couldn't go to the races. I was just like, yeah, I had stomach aches. And they're like, oh, you could race with the stomach ache.
Right.
I was like, no, you don't understand. These stomach aches are next level.
That's crazy. Oh, my
God.
Well,
yeah, it was pretty cool. I met this guy in Montana. His name's Tom. And he kind of brought, like, he brought me back, kind of. I was bummed out. I was ready to quit racing because it wasn't fun anymore. After training, like, being sick and racing, being sick, it just wasn't fun.
Yeah.
So, I was ready to quit. And then, yeah, I met Tom, and he offered me some really good support in the U.S. again.
Yep.
And it was kind of just, like, I don't know, it lit a fire under me again, so... 2020 was just like a growing year. I wasn't really expecting to, I didn't really have any expectations going into the season for 2020.
Yeah.
I kind of knew I was going to do better than the year before. Well, yeah, I was getting under control and I could actually like stay on the bike without having to go to the bathroom.
Yeah.
So I was pretty excited just for that. But yeah, no, I think it was like first day that I slept all through the night was the best day that I had in like a year.
That's awesome.
It was so weird.
Such
but yeah,
a
it's
kind of
crazy. Like after laying in bed for so long, you realize the small things in life. So now I'm like, I live in the moment and I try not to like, if I get the opportunity to do something, I do. If I want to do it, I do it.
Yeah.
So it kind of gave me a different outlook on life and made me realize a lot of things that, like, health is huge.
Yeah. It's something you take for granted, right? Until it's taken away from you.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, 100%. And I always did take it for granted, too. But now I'm, like, I look at life way differently. And especially, like, all those people that are locked up in the hospitals and stuff. I know how it feels because I was basically there.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, man. You're out, what, in Kelowna now, enjoying the sunshine?
Yeah, I'm down. No, not. I'm in like right near Vancouver, Langley area.
Oh, okay, yeah. And it's like I saw.
Yeah, so
riding in the sand.
Yeah, not so much enjoying the sunshine. It's more It's more the rain.
Yeah, fair enough. Eh? It's not like here right now. We got like I think it's -28 with the wind chill or something brutal like that.
Yeah,
so you're winning temperature wise.
Yeah,
sad for the rain. Sorry about that. And so,
no, the rain's good. The rain's good. I like it.
So your new bikes, the gas bikes. How do you liking those ones?
They're honestly pretty good. Like I'm not a gas salesman or anything.
Yeah.
I'm
you
not a
now.
Bike salesman, but they're like, I've never gelled with the bike as good as I have on the gas. Like I literally just jumped on it the first day and I felt 100% comfortable and they're like people think that they're like oh it's just a red KTM,
yeah,
but they're actually quite a bit different. They handle a lot different, and even just like the motors have some small little things that they've changed on them and upgraded. So yeah, like it's a full it's their own brand, and
yeah,
they're probably like for off-road or people just getting into riding, they're probably one of the best bikes out there.
Oh,
they're
nice.
Like they're nice and light. They come with the e-start and
which is huge.
Good suspension. The new suspension on them is really good. I've been running my 300 with just stock suspension.
Yeah,
and it's so good. I was just talking to my suspension guy this morning, and I was gonna get some WP Pro components on it, but I don't even think there's a point. I'm just gonna keep the stock stuff and.
That's crazy.
And yeah, but no, I've been having fun down here. It's kind of nice. Normally I'm in California, Arizona, January, February,
yep,
and March. But, and that's usually like you're praying for the rain so that you can ride wet dirt.
Okay.
But out here it's always wet. So I've been doing like, I rode in the rain. I've been riding in the rain almost every day. I've always kind of lacked in the slippery stuff, even at the Endurocross races at the end of the night. The tracks get wet
because
it gets like it'll get dark out and the moisture will come through the dirt, or there's a water pit and it gets dragged around the track. And that's honestly where I struggle is in the wet. I've always been like a fair weather rider, even at the hard enduros. It's kind of funny to say like I'm an enduro guy, so I like everybody's like, oh yeah, you should be good in the mud, and I am good in the mud, but compared to some of like the off-road guys, those guys are unreal in the mud. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's because I'm quite a bit lighter than a lot of them.
Yeah.
So getting like weight on the pegs and stuff is a lot harder for me, and getting traction to the rear wheel is definitely like, I'm not complaining that I'm light, but I think it's harder for that for sure. I'm not much of a wet rider. I like it.
Yeah.
I like it and I have fun riding in the wet, but I'm better in the dry. I didn't choose it. It's just what happened, I guess.
Yeah. Fair enough. Have you thought about maybe getting coaching from like top female riders for wet? Like, it sounds weird, but their technique would be different because they don't ride like guys do. They probably can't throw their 110 pounds around the way I could throw my 200 pounds, like using wet as an advantage.
Well, I mean, a lot of it's just like standing. I haven't actually thought about that, but a lot of it's just like normally the women we're on different courses, but I mean, sometimes they'll ride the same course as the men.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's like, most of it's just like weighting the pegs. Like if I need to, like, if there's a big, big hill climb.
Yeah.
Or just like a decently steep hill with like a rut on it and it's filled with mud. If you got like a guy that's a little bit heavier, getting that weight on the rear tire helps a lot more than like getting like, I'm only like 140 pounds or something, so yeah. I'm not as heavy as like if you're one. I mean, even like I ride with Kevin Dupuy a lot and he's pretty close to my weight, but I think even like he's got 20 pounds on me, but I think even that just helps him a little bit. So
yeah,
I've been working on it though. I'm working with Migration Unlimited for, they're helping me out with a bunch of my training stuff this year.
Nice.
They got a program set up for me, so Brad Clifford, he runs that and he's a really good guy, and kind of the goal is to gain some weight and get the cardiovascular system firing in all cylinders. So
that's awesome. What's the one race you absolutely want to win?
I want to win the Corduroy Enduro. That's like the biggest one almost in Canada. Evan Smith won it 2 years ago against Tristan. So there's some fast guys there, but it's kind of my style. And like the guys that are out east have been doing the same track. So I've been thinking like that's probably the one in my goal. Like I got a list of goals, and that's probably the one that I want to win the most. Is nice. Corduroy.
So your parents are a big part of your support team, right? Are they still there every race, or because of COVID, is it making it harder for them? Or
yeah, it's kind of funny. Like they don't even let me race on my own. It's kind of funny. I tried to go to this moto race when I was 18 or something.
Yeah.
And they drove out for the day. It was in Raymond, and I drove out with a bunch of friends and we camped, and they drove out for the day and surprised me on race day and came out. Like, it was the first race I was going to do on my own. I was kind of bummed, honestly, because it's kind of nice just to get out and like do things on your own.
Yeah, I believe
but
that.
But it is nice to have your parents there too, but it's definitely, I don't know. They didn't come to any races this year in the U.S. just because of COVID, and my dad's working and my mom didn't want to have to deal with all like the quarantine stuff. Yeah, so even though she sits at home and that's what she's doing anyway, she just didn't want to have to be told what to do, I don't think.
Yeah, awesome.
Exactly. It's honestly not even that bad. Like I don't know why everybody's freaking out about the quarantine. It's honestly not bad. Like just take 2 weeks off. Do like whatever you got to do around the house.
Yeah.
It's a nice time to relax, honestly, too.
Yeah, fair enough. You ride with a lot of guys like Cooper and Tristan and all those guys. Do you have any rivalries? Like, is anybody... maybe not like the evil WWE kind of rivalry, but like between bros kind of like push each other, mock each other.
Me and Tristan kind of like, we don't really have a rivalry, but we push each other pretty hard on the practice track.
Yeah.
I think so. I mean, it's good because like I've had days with him where we won't even do motos. One day, a couple of days at his track, we would, right before Endurocross season, there was this 180 degree turn, and we just rode the 180 degree turn all day, just practicing like slamming each other. Like, we were T-boning each other.
That's awesome.
Full metal on metal contact. Like, it was like kind of like take no prisoners. It was like if you're on the inside of the corner and the guy on the outside was getting creamed.
Oh,
like,
God.
We were riding so aggressive, and we just did loops on it, too.
Yeah.
We were just, like, riding a circle loop hitting this 180 corner, and there was a log jumping into it. So, basically, like, we would go through the rock section together.
Yeah.
And most of the time, I was on the outside.
Oh, so that sucks.
And we would get, like – but it was kind of funny because – so Tristan was doubling into the corner, and I was doubling, too. So, every time I would double in, he would double into the inside of me and slam me.
Yeah.
But it was kind of funny because we would do that 10 times. And then the 11th time I would roll the logs and he would double and overshoot. And I would step up underneath him and slam him on the outside. So it's kind of funny. He doesn't like getting hit by me very much. And I, even in the motos, like if we're doing a moto and he's passing me or whatever, it's like full on like trying to kill each other.
Nice.
Like, we'll like T-bone each other. And I got some GoPro footage. I just didn't want to share it because we were like, it was too aggressive to share, I thought.
Oh, it looks hostile. It was bad. Yeah.
Even sometimes, like, we'll crash and we'll take each other out, and he'll get mad and, like, start pinning me down on the ground. I got some funny footage where I've, like, went on the inside of him, and he's crashed, and I've crashed, too, and our bikes are all tangled up. And he'll just jump on me and start throwing dirt in my helmet. So, but I mean, we're really good friends. So,
yeah.
Like, it's like, we think it's funny. Like, we're just joking around, yeah. But at the same time, it's like teaching both of us how to ride, not so much aggressive, but just ride protective. Cause
yeah.
I mean, when like Colton probably isn't the cleanest rider out there.
Yeah.
So, I mean, Tristan, if he doesn't have anyone to ride with that, like when he goes out and run race day, those guys will just eat him up. Like, he needs to know how to be able to bang
himself
back with them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, so, I mean, I think I helped him out a lot. I told him he was being a bitch on the track and that he was like the worst protective rider ever. I personally think that I'm pretty good, but I kind of like, I don't know, maybe I get like too aggressive sometimes. Tristan's like the nice guy. I don't really, I'll ride whatever. I don't care.
Yeah. Oh, he's like a sweetheart.
I try to be nice, though. I don't want to like hurt anyone, but if you can definitely, it's like if you can pass someone and you be aggressive and it will help you,
yeah,
then definitely like it's hard to pass. Endurocross is hard to pass because you either got to be just straight up faster. A lot of us are like pretty close to the same speed, and you'll get stuck. Like if you go wide in a corner, guys will slam you on the inside. Like,
yeah.
They'll come. Three guys will come on the inside off the start and slam you if you go outside.
Yeah.
So you got to be, like, always – you can't really, like – you can't look back a lot, but you just got to be, like – you got to be self-aware, yeah, of who's behind you.
Yeah.
Because there's some riders that will, like – they'll clean you out.
That's brutal.
If you're in front of them, they'll clean you out. Like, they don't care, but
– it's a game of inches, though.
I don't really have – what's that?
Like, Endurocross is a game of inches. Like, if you've got the right position as you go over a bunch of rocks or whatever, you're the one that's going to make it. And the guy being two inches over to the right or to the left, he got fucked. Now he's got, like, a shitty line. And so I could see why people would push each other around, like, just to get the spot, the nice line. Because it's like they only build...
Yeah, no, like, lines are huge. If you got one line that's clicking for you and you're just hitting it perfect every time...
Yeah.
And someone else is going in it and you got to get out of it, like you could lose, you could get hung up or get or lose like a couple seconds.
Yeah,
second, like
that's bike lanes.
A couple seconds, If you lose a couple seconds in enduro cross, it's like four guys get by you.
Yeah.
I mean, running, like I hole shotted a couple motos this year.
Oh, nice.
Down in the U.S. And like running top five for a couple motos. I had one moto, I ran top five to the last lap, and two guys got by me on the last lap, and I finished seventh.
Oh, man.
So I was pretty bummed about that. Like, a top five would have been crazy for me. Yep. That's what I've been gunning for top five for so long. I ran top five till the last lap. I think two races I was top five for quite a few laps. But one specific race, I was top five till the last lap, and Cooper and Max Gersten got by me on the last lap. And they just, like, they passed me and they were gone. Like, because the last lap is usually where passes happen.
Yeah.
Because people are getting tired and you get caught up in lappers too.
Yeah.
So, I mean, lapping people on endurocross is hard because normally the lappers are going to take the main line. So if you're lapping, you have to get out of the main line to lap them.
Yeah.
So that just brings up the chance of getting hung up or getting passed. Like, someone could follow the lapper, and if you hit the rock section, if you're hitting the rock section, it takes you 10 seconds to get through it. On your fast line, if you get out of that and go 15 seconds in the other line,
yeah,
someone could follow the lapper and get by you, use them as like a pick, kind of.
Yeah, I get it.
It's kind of crazy. Like, the last laps are crazy usually at endurocross. So
it's
everybody's fighting usually. Everybody's tired and everybody's fighting for like that last position.
yeah, man. Like, you can see in races when a guy is just following somebody because they're not making bad time, you know, and they don't want to. And then and then on the last lap, they're like, "Okay, kid, see ya." Like,
yeah,
just, yeah. It's it happens like in Supercross, they do that. They'll be
Cooper Webb's big for that. Like,
yeah,
he'll follow to the last lap and then
pour it on.
You just get some boost. Yeah, you just get some boost of energy on the last lap and
he makes
some passes.
Do you have plans like Erzberg and all that kind of stuff? Like, are you going to be one of those guys?
Yeah, I mean, I'm still pretty young.
Yeah.
So I got lots of time. I know guys that like went up to Erzberg when they're 30 and stuff. I definitely want to go while I'm in my prime.
Yep.
So I think like I'm still learning hard enduro.
Yep.
Like, hard enduro is something you learn. Like, you're always learning. Every time you go out, you learn something.
Yeah, I think so.
Like, even because it's weird because the conditions, like, no hills are the same.
Yep.
They're always going to be different. And even like the dirt conditions are always different too. So you're always riding completely different dirt and completely different lines. So it's kind of like something like you're always learning. And I just want to get some more experience riding hard enduro and get better at it. And then as soon as I start getting better at it, then I definitely want to go do, like, I've been thinking about trying to do like Romaniacs and Erzberg is a gnarly one. So I definitely want to do it. Like, Tristan went and did that, and it's pretty sweet race. So I want to go over to Europe, and what I really want to try is some of the super enduros and like the West enduro cross series kind of. Overseas, they're so crazy. The tracks are so gnarly.
Yeah, the scale, the European scale is different than our scale. Just like when we go to America, the scale of things is just insane. Like, get 100 people out in the fans stands at Wild Rose, and everybody's like pretty stoked. And then if you had 100 people at an event in the States, they're just like, why didn't anybody show up?
It's like, it's pretty next level down there. It's crazy. Racing those enduro crosses with like all the people in the stands is so crazy, especially when you're leading. They put a spotlight on you, so it's like you can see it, you can tell, like, everything. It's so the light's so bright when the spotlight's on you. And you can hear, like, it's almost like when the spotlight's on you, it turns like slow motion because you can like hear the announcer kind of.
Yeah.
So it's like everything goes slow motion.
It's got to be hard to ignore it. Like, does it have a negative impact on you? Like, that?
I wouldn't say a negative impact, but when you're on the last lap and the spotlight's on you, it gives you like an extra, like the adrenaline just boosts you. So.
Oh, nice. That's awesome. Like a drug. Here's your nitro, kid.
Yeah.
Spotlight, and I'm going to say your name.
Yep.
Yeah. Awesome. What was the biggest challenge, I guess, crossing over from purely Canadian racing to going against America. Because that's what it feels like when we go down there. It's like we're fighting the nation.
Yeah, I mean, that's a hard question. I mean, honestly, you just got to be like, those guys down there are training like it's a job down there.
Yeah.
No one in Canada is riding like it's a job. In the U.S., it's a full-time job. Like, there's guys that are down there getting paid salary. So when you're getting paid salary to do it, I mean, you don't got any excuses to not be doing good. So
that's fair, man.
You gotta be always doing something pretty much. I mean, now with all like the trainers and everything that I've had, I'm kind of learning that like, if you go too hard, that just leads to injuries or like getting sick or stuff like that. So you kind of got to find like a fine line about how hard you need to go.
Yeah.
And then like recovery is huge. So you need to make sure that you're recovering. And I think definitely like racing, like you got to have a trainer, I think.
Yeah.
I think it's huge. Like if you're getting paid salary, it's no different than professional like hockey or anything like that. All those guys have trainers. Mm-hmm. So there's no reason why like dirt bikers shouldn't have trainers and all that kind of stuff. So
I feel like the sport's coming along. Like there's more attention on it, more money going towards mm-hmm. it. You're not going to get rich, but you can have like a middle class income and survive and cover all the bills like without mm-hmm. having to be on the podium every single time just to make rent. You probably don't do training sessions anymore, hey? Like you were doing at Wild Rose.
I mean, I do. Like, I got this one kid named Sawyer Shell,
yeah,
Shell Boy on Instagram, and it's kind of funny. Like when I was younger, I had one of my dad's friends. He's a professional jet ski racer.
Yeah,
he's a world champion actually. So he's like really, really good on a jet ski, and he's really good on a dirt bike too. And it's kind of like the way I grew up is like my dad didn't know a lot about dirt biking. Like he knew how to ride and stuff, but he wasn't a pro. Like he could show me the odd thing that would help me.
Yep.
And just from even my mom, just from watching like the years and years and years of sitting in the stands watching, even her, like she's learned a lot about just like form and technique and stuff. And she can tell me some stuff and I don't like listening to her.
Yeah. Well, why not?
Because I like, she doesn't ride, but I mean like she, like just watching, you can learn a lot.
Yep.
So yeah, I had this guy that his name's Mike Klippenstein, and he was at the track a lot of the time when I was on 50s.
Yep.
And he would come out on his little, he had a pit bike. He would come out on his pit bike and battle me on his pit bike. So I kind of had like a, like he was kind of like my mentor.
Yeah.
When I was really, really young, he was kind of my mentor. Like I looked up to him. He was like kind of like my hero, and he was good at everything, like good at riding moto, good at off road. He was really good on jet skis, and he was there quite a bit of the time to show me things on the moto track. So, I mean, all that goes a huge way. If you have someone that you can ask questions to when you're young, it's hard because like kids don't know what to ask questions on how to do, like they're not going to ask you like, oh, how did my form look on like this corner? It's kind of a hard thing for a kid to get coaching.
Yeah.
Unless you're like in the States and you got full time, like if you're going like almost full factory when you're a kid, like all of those kids in the States are almost full factory.
Yeah.
It's crazy. They're getting like, they get coaches and they get all that. So if you got a coach or like a professional dad,
yeah,
that's good, that can teach you, that's a huge advantage. So I got this one kid, Sawyer, and I take a lot of my time out of the, when I'm at the tracks and stuff, and I'll go do laps with him, and I try to train him every time I'm there.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome.
So I've even like, and even in the summer, I've had days where I've gone, I wake up at like 7 o'clock and I'll drive to his house and we'll go hit like the YMCA gym and I'll do my workout. And he'll just like, he comes to do the workout, and he didn't have a very high attention span. So he'll like lift a little bit of weight with me sometimes. It's kind of funny. I'll be like bench pressing. Like I don't bench press much, but it's funny because he'll bench press like even less than me. And we're just like doing our little workout. That's and he'll awesome. Go off and like run around and hit every machine while I'm like doing one workout, because he just, He's running around. He's got too much energy.
Yeah, he's like ADD in the gym.
Yeah. So he's testing out all the equipment. He'll do like some small workouts, and then I'll grab his bike from his house and I'll drive him to the track, and him and I like we'll just ride together all day, and I'll train him and do my like enduro cross motos in between, and he watches me and all that. So I mean, I kind of like he's one of the kids that's like the most dedicated to it in Calgary. A lot of people don't really know. But he rides the most out of anyone that I know in Calgary. The kid is gnarly. He'll ride any conditions too. He's so gnarly. And it's kind of funny too. Even like when I was a kid too, I was the same way. Like I could ride for hours and hours and hours at a time, no breaks.
Yeah.
And I'm like, we'll be riding for like an hour, and I'm like, all right, we should go get a water break. And I was like, you want to come? And he's like, no, I'm gonna keep lapping. And I was like, all right, you keep lapping. I'm going to go take a water break. It's kind of funny. Yeah, he's like, he's going to be really good when he's younger. And it's a huge advantage having someone that, like, I ride everything. I ride moto, enduro cross.
Yeah.
He wants to ride everything, too. Like, he calls it hard enduro, and, like, we'll go bushwhack, and he's on a 65.
That's sick.
And he's like, yeah, let's go ride hard enduro. And we'll find, like, these little mini hill climbs, and he'll, like, try to mess around on them. It's pretty funny. So, I've been training him a lot and teaching him a lot on the track. And I kind of, last year I was pretty bummed because I was in the U.S. so much all year. And I came back and I like noticed some of his form was off from the year before. Like the year before he was pretty dialed in, but last year I noticed he was like slacking a bunch. So it's kind of funny how like you can tell after someone hasn't like seen like the same coaching, it's just you develop bad habits. Even myself, if I'm riding moto all the time and I go try to ride hard enduro, I can't ride hard enduro because I develop all these moto habits. And I'll try to ride hard enduro and I'll be like riding all up on the front of the bike, like really bad form. And that's the thing, Tristan's really good at that. I don't know like how I can get better at it. I've been like trying to practice riding everything.
Yeah.
But yeah, Tristan can go and he'll ride trials for like 3 days and then hop on the moto track and be like 100% speed on the moto track.
That's insane.
Whereas I'm like, if I ride trials for 3 days, it'll take me a week to get good on the moto track again.
Yeah, 'cause different clutching, different body, different everything. Like,
they're 100% different. So that's like the super tough thing about racing. Like when I did that full three series in 2018 there, that's like the hardest thing is having to like one weekend I'd be racing hard enduro. The next weekend I'd be racing like fast moto works races. And then the next weekend I'd be racing enduro cross. So trying to like three different bikes.
Yes.
Three different setups and three different types of training. So I'm trying to juggle like nine different variables of racing. So it's actually pretty gnarly.
You should try taking up road racing.
Yeah.
Just fuck it all up.
Exactly.
I only have two bikes. I have like a sport bike and a dirt bike. And the body language is almost opposite.
No, it's completely opposite. Yeah. On a street bike, you're like elbows down, all tucked in.
Yeah.
And on a dirt bike, you're like all like aggressive, like elbows up.
Yeah.
That's kind of thing. So
when I go for street rides with fellows who have like a dirt bike background, I can totally tell just because of their elbows. Like, they're all like, the T-bar elbows up, trying real hard to like, I don't know, manhandle the front of the bike. Like, and I would not do that. Like, not a chance.
Yeah, no. Yeah, no. Even like I feel like such a goof if I go ride. Yeah. I got my street bike license, and my dad, he's a big street biker. So I'll go out and ride with him on the street bike, and I feel like a goon on the street bike. Like, I feel so weird, like, riding, like, just sitting on one makes your posture, like, bad for a dirt bike.
Yeah.
Because you're, like, kind of, like, hunched back, elbows, like, tucked in. Just, like, the way the grips are lined up and everything, and, like, the bars are set up.
Yeah.
It just gives you bad moto form, and your feet, the the way you put your feet on the pegs are like you're slanted, your feet like way down,
yeah,
and you sit down the whole time too.
Yeah, it's hard.
And then I'll jump on the moto bike and I feel like my elbows are like tucked in and they're like way down. I feel like I'm riding a street bike as soon as I get on the moto bike. So yeah, I try not to ride them, honestly. I mean, there's a lot to learn. You can learn so much riding on the street, just not even going fast. If you just go for like a street ride,
yeah,
you can learn stuff that'll help you on the moto track. Just, it's kind of weird, but
I just found that the cornering, like, so on the street bike, I will get my, I'll weight the outside peg, but I'll have my whole body on the inside of the turn, you know? And then on moto, it's, you weight the outside peg and you have your whole body on the outside of the turn. It's just like, they're just weird. And I feel super alien when I'm riding moto. So it must be how, yeah, I feel like a goon when I'm riding moto. And I feel natural on a sport bike.
Whatever you ride more, that's like what your body used to.
Yeah.
Like I've always been like a kind of like, I feel like my riding style is a little bit different than the moto guys. I feel like I stand up a lot more than them, and I definitely ride a lot different than them. Cause I ride like a full, like I'm almost full enduro. I don't ride moto. I just ride moto for fun.
Yeah.
Do the odd moto race here and there just to keep up the moto skills.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm definitely not a moto guy. Like, my one goal in life ever since I was a kid was to learn how to whip.
Oh yeah.
That was the only thing I wanted to be able to do on a dirt bike. I thought it was the coolest thing. Like I thought, I don't even want to backflip or anything. I just thought whips were the coolest. So I've always wanted to throw a whip. So I kind of like, I learned how to do it. I don't know how, like, honestly, it just takes time on the bike and just like confidence, and anyone can learn how to do it. But the whip is just like the biggest thing. And I just wanted to learn it. So I'm happy I learned it.
That's awesome. It looks so sick.
It's crazy when you go off a jump and you like lean the bike over as far as you can and you like see the rear tire come around. It's so weird.
What about the Bubba scrub?
I can scrub like pretty decent, but it's scary. Like big jumps, the bigger the jump, the scarier it is. Like the bigger the jump, the smaller I whip. I can't whip off big jumps. I get scared because you like, you're in the air for so long. Like, I mean, you'd think it'd be like better to whip off, but I would prefer just like a small table, like a smaller tabletop. And I got some videos of me throwing it pretty hard off small tabletops. I'm not even really scared of crash. I don't think I remember. I've crashed up a whip. Actually, I crashed at Blackfoot not too long ago. There's a funny video on my Instagram. I scrubbed off the finish line. And I think I rolled up the throttle and I went too slow and I cased the top.
Oh.
And the bike like landed sideways on the top and like whipped the other way and threw me and I like landed on my head and did a full flip.
That's awesome. I mean,
it was pretty bad, but
that's crazy.
Other than that, I don't think I've had any whip crashes.
Have you had any serious crashes in your career?
I've had some pretty bad ones, but no really bad injuries.
That's good.
But I think, I mean, that's where, like, I think having a trainer comes into play is if you're proportionate, like, if you work your muscles proportionate on your body,
yeah,
I think that's huge for injury. Like, if you're working, let's say, if you're working your upper body all the time, you got a huge upper body,
yeah,
compared to your legs, like, you're definitely going to be more prone to, like, knee or leg injuries if you have, like, if you're not working out everything equally.
Yeah,
like I think you got to work out everything equally so that you're proportionate. But yeah, like even just like stretching and rolling and being flexible, all that is huge for crashing. I think it helps that I'm light too, is like having that little bit less weight,
yeah,
just flying into the ground is definitely helpful.
I'm sure I could appreciate being lighter. I hit the ground a lot on a dirt bike, so
yeah, I feel like half the time, like I've had crashes where I'm going like fifth gear and I feel like I just like, I'm just like a skip, like a stone, yep, just like skipping off the top.
That's
like,
sweet.
Like I'm getting rolled. Like I've got like, I've crashed fifth gear wide open and just got absolutely tossed.
Oh man.
But at the same time, I'm not like 180 pounds, just like straight pancaking into the dirt. I just kind of like, I feel like I just bounce and like roll.
Yeah.
I don't know. Some people just learn how to crash, and some people, when they crash, they'll just stick out their arm and just break their arm. But I don't know. Like I've definitely had some close calls and I've had some pretty bad crashes.
Yeah.
I think the worst one I've ever had was at Popcom at this little enduro cross race. There was a tire double.
Okay.
And I hit the wrong tire and it bucked me into a nosedive.
Oh.
And I was nosediving and I jumped off and I landed and slid out onto my hip. And then the bike flipped and landed on my hips and like kind of like squished me.
Yep.
And I put a huge hole in my stomach. I didn't have to get stitches, but it was bad. Like it was a real cut on my stomach. So
that's fucked.
I've been super lucky. I've had like a couple broken fingers here and there, broke my nose, but yeah, I don't know. I feel like I'm pretty
resilient.
I ride pretty careful. I don't myself too hard.
Yeah.
And I feel like even being like as a kid, I was always just doing like extreme stuff.
Yeah.
And I think that helps. Like even like freestyle skiing is huge. 'Cause I used to freestyle ski. And if you're not like, really precise on a rail or something, like you'll tear your ACL or you'll crash and hurt yourself bad. Even in like the air, like even trampoline, if you have like really good air awareness,
yeah,
you can kind of know, like if you can kind of know what to do, you know, like if you're flying through the air and you got a dirt bike flying behind you, you can kind of tell where it is. 'Cause a lot of these times when you're doing flips, you know exactly where you are, even though you're upside down and like all twisted up,
yeah,
you know what way is forward and what way, like when you're going to land and all that. Having good like aerial awareness and all that,
yeah.
Like it's kind of funny, like you would never think that you would need that, but I think just having like that kind of childhood,
yeah,
helps me now.
Fair enough. When you send it off of a jump, at what point do you know that it's going to be a bad landing?
It depends. Sometimes like in enduro cross, if you hit a jump, as soon as the rear wheel hits the lip, you can kind of tell if you're going to crash.
Oh yeah.
But you can save it a lot of the time in the air. Like I've had times where I've jumped and like landed completely sideways and saved it.
Oh wow, that's crazy.
But yeah, I don't know. It's like I think it helps that I'm light too.
Yeah.
If you land sideways and you got like an extra 40 pounds on you, you're probably gonna get sprung the other way.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you're gonna compress everything and get the rebound. You keep saying light, but maybe it's agility, man. Maybe you just have cat-like agility.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like even like my childhood, like I was always just like running around, jumping off stuff.
Yeah.
Like just doing all sorts of stuff, playing, like we used to play all these games of like manhunt or whatever, and we'd be like running through the neighborhood scaling fences and like jumping like on the parks and stuff and like climbing trees and stuff. I think all that helps out for sure.
I think so. Having a, I don't know, adventurous youth helps you be
definitely.
And definitely a motorsport. Like I don't know, anytime I fail, it's when I'm in my own head and I'm afraid of what I'm doing, like riding out of my comfort zone or whatever. Like I am a terrible, terrible moto athlete. Like, if I make mid pack, I'm pretty happy. And it'd be like a race out of three people. Watching Tristan, you guys make it look so effortless, like you're not even trying. And I know that you are there's crazy focus. There's crazy dedication. There's tons happening and it just looks so silky smooth. Like it's impressive, man. Well, I guess we made it to like an hour, so I'll let you go, man. I've used up your time and I feel like you got,
no worries.
You got some place to be pretty quick here.
Yeah. I'm heading out riding. So
yeah,
no days off these days for me. I'm trying to make the most of this nice rainy, wet weather out here.
Fuck man. It's yeah. Like the guys here would kill to,
yeah.
To
I've had a lot of guys messaging me, asking me where I was. And I'm like, I'm in Vancouver. Come on out.
Yeah,
we'll
anytime.
Take you riding in the mud.
That's awesome. If you want.
Sweet. Yeah, sounds good. Thanks for all having me on. It was a good time to share. I'm happy I get to like share my story a little bit.
No, man. And it's like, it's a good story. Like, I mean, you have it all. Like you had success and you had like the little plateau of figuring out Crohn's and stuff. And then, call it like the return. And now this year you're going to be like on the top of the podium. Like fuck top five, just be top three. Like
yeah,
you know
hopefully.
What I mean? Yeah, it's a big story. Like,
nice.
Yeah, it's I don't know how to describe it. Like it's got all the elements of like a grand story, you know what I mean? Like yeah, I don't know. I feel for your parents. The Crohn's thing must have been hard on them, like watching their kid. I don't know, because you're a lively person, man. like you have energy.
Yeah.
And to see you in, just imagining you in a bed for months, it would be heartbreaking. Like,
yeah, it was hard, but I mean, I'm just putting all that behind me and,
yeah. Oh,
fun. And looking ahead and
yeah.
The open road from here on out.
Yeah, man. It's just one chapter. Like it's in the past. It's there, but who cares? Like, yeah, it's pretty
exactly.
Awesome. All right, dude. Thank you very much. And, yeah, I'll talk to you soon. All right.
All right. Sounds good.
Bye.
Well, that brings us to the end of another episode. I want to thank my guests for taking the time to sit down and chat with me. A special thank you to you, my supporters. Without you, this would not be possible. If you enjoyed the show, give it a 5-star rating. And if you haven't already, be sure to like, subscribe, and share. If this is your first time listening, I encourage you to take the 3-episode challenge. Once again, thank you for your continued support, and stay tuned to find out what's coming up next time.